Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I feel great. My voice is still a little bit froggy, but my energy levels are pretty good again, so I'm real happy with that. And so good to be here with you guys. What's your first story, bud?
Well, the first thing that I've been doing a lot of research on today, because it's been very troubling to me, is what's going on in California. A lot of people don't understand exactly what's going on. There's been almost a media blackout. I was on a lot of social media last night and today watching videos from people that were out in California. And the use of directed energy weapons is by far not even questionable anymore out in California, what we've seen. I've literally watched some of the most bizarre videos I've ever seen in my life. You know, directed energy weapons, I know how effective they are. I've read a lot of stuff on them as far as with lasers is essentially what they are. But what they're doing is unprecedented. There's videos actually with Gerard Butler, who's a movie star who apparently lost his home, Miley Cyrus, multiple other movie stars, entire blocks have been wiped out, where he's videotaping the street. And these monster houses, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,000 square foot houses, block, everything else, are literally in ashes. And the St. Augustine and the trees around the house aren't even burnt. I mean, I'm not even burnt, not even crispy, not even brown. Full, vibrant, green St. Augustine, and the 10,000 square foot house is literally in an ash pile. No block left, no structure, no nothing. There's videos of a helicopter that surfaced today of a news station, and there's specific houses that are literally burnt to the ground in neighborhoods, and other houses aren't burned down, and there's not a single piece of tree or grass that's burnt anywhere in the area. This is a serious issue, guys, and we need to get this information out here. And I think I may have figured out what is the reasoning behind this right now. The $77 billion bullet train in California that has essentially been plagued with cost overruns over the last 4 years is still being attempted to be basically brought to market. And I pulled a graph of it today, and I saw another one of the fires. Apparently, it goes from Sacramento all the way down to Los Angeles and then the San Diego later on, and multiple stops in between. And if you look at the areas that these wildfires have been popping up at, they are literally almost identical on certain areas, some of them not, and some of them right on the lines of where they're taking this stuff. Now, what's crazy about this is apparently for the last couple years, there has been huge blowback in California about the massive land grab California has been trying to do to take property away so they can build this massive bullet train, and essentially they're not wanting to compensate anybody. This article just from a few years ago, it said building public project often involves acquiring land. That usually means using eminent domain to take private property with just compensation. California's high-speed trail project is now acquiring land needed for construction but is meeting severe resistance from property owners who charge the process is being rushed. At a February 13th meeting, the California State Public Works Board approved condemning private property for the rail project. The parcels are listed beginning on P18 of the board's agenda. The Owners Council of America, which represents property owners in eminent domain disputes, lists 12 considerations that are coming up, including is the property designed for a special use, giving rise to a unique valuation technique. There's an article, it's actually a PDF you can download from California. I pulled it up today from HSR California Gov, and it's labeled your property, your high-speed rail project, essentially making it sound like they're doing this for the greater good of humanity. And it goes on to say in here about how the state and federal regulations recognize the need for public agencies to purchase private property for public use. And it goes on to talk about how awesome this thing is. However, apparently from the research that I have done, there's a large amount of people that are not okay with this because they're wanting to come in now and buy these property and essentially not pay them fair market value. And on top of that, this whole project has essentially gone from a $77 billion budget to now they're saying it's upwards of a $98 $1 billion budget and start factoring in the purchasing of tens of thousands of multi-million-dollar homes in California, you can see how that cost would raise even higher. Now, the issue, and a lot of people go, well, what's the issue with the train? What's the big deal with the train? What's this and that? Remember this, guys. The whole aspect of Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 is to put everybody in huge condominium areas in big smart cities. Nobody has vehicles. Nobody has freedom. Everybody transfers back and forth via train. A perfect indication of this is a movie that I've referred to numerous times because it has so much clear-cut footage of what Agenda 2030 is about, and that is the Hunger Games. If you ever watch the movie Hunger Games, you will notice they never travel in vehicles unless it's MRAP vehicles for the military. They're always on a train in every situation in the movie. If you watch it again, pick this up. They're constantly using trains. They don't have vehicles for private use. They have to get on train stations at their section, and they have to ride the sections all the way up until they get to the Capitol. This is the goal of United Nations 2030. When you're on a train, you go where they tell you to go, you get off when they tell you to get off, and you only go where they allow you to go. You have no free will of transportation, and you can no longer go traveling freely unmolested on your way. You only go to where they designate you to go. The video footage that I have seen out in California is beyond troubling to me because this is one of the first times that we have clear-cut evidence. You can't even argue with this anymore, that directed energy weapons are being used on a massive civilian population in a free country. This is quite scary, and if you guys do some research, watch some videos of some of this stuff. I mean, there's a photo I saw today of this whole street of vehicles. The aluminum wheels on the vehicles were melted to liquid. Liquid. The cars were literally almost puddled there on the asphalt, and 30 feet on the side of the road, this crops with all these orchards, completely green. Not a single grass, not a single leaf is burned. And I've dealt with fires down here. We had a huge fire down here at River Ranch about a year ago, down towards Okeechobee, South Florida area. And I went out there because one of my buddies is a sheriff. We went out there and rode the side-by-sides afterwards once stuff had cooled down. And forest fires aren't specific to certain areas. They just burn whatever they hit. You don't have a forest fire come in, skip all of the brush, all of the trees, all of the grass, all of the dead leaves, burn a block house down to the ground, and then dissipates because that's the only thing it wanted to burn. That's not a natural forest fire. That is a directed energy weapon that they've been utilizing for years now, and apparently they deem them necessary to use them on the general population. And when I started doing this research on this rail system, if this is in fact exactly what it is, there's a high probability now they're saying that it's going to be more cost effective to burn a lot of these subdivisions to the ground, let insurance deal with it, and then buy the property up for pennies on the dollar so they can install the railway system to further increase their Agenda 2030 with the United Nations, and California being pretty much the pinnacle of the New World Order state. This seems to be at least one subsection of the goal that they're doing out there, Dad, with these directed energy weapons. What do you think?
Okay, number one, let's step back for just a notch. Let's explain to everybody what a directed energy weapon is.
Yes.
Back in the 80s, what happened is Ronald Reagan decided he wanted to do something called Star Wars. And Star Wars was basically using space-based weapon platform systems in outer space that would basically intercept a intercontinental ballistic missile from Russia or China coming into the United States airspace. Now, of course, China really wasn't capable of doing it at that point because Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton had not yet sold them, illegally, I may add, the intercontinental ballistic missile guidance systems, which they now have. And what Reagan decided to do was incorporate Tesla technology using scalar waves. And basically, they told him it couldn't be done, but they lied because they knew they could do it. Fred Bell worked on this. This is the guy who basically died a few years ago. He was the one who basically was the one who appeared on Jesse Ventura's show, Conspiracy Theory. And they were talking about free energy weapons on this show. And they built the platforms, according to Fred Bell. He worked with NASA. And when Jesse Ventura asked him, do they have this type of technology? Do they have these space-based weapon systems? And can they destroy a building? Because we were talking about 9/11. And Fred Bell chuckled. He chuckled. He goes, a building, they can wipe out a continent. They have the potential ability to wipe out continents and cities if they want to do this. They have that much technology over our heads circling on space-based weapon systems. These are giant scalar wave laser systems that use directed energy weapons that are like giant microwaves that can start fire anywhere. They're like incredibly hot when they turn them on. This is all the same type of technology they're using with active denial systems now, but on a much, much, much more powerful scale and much more directed. According to Judy Wood, these were the directed energy systems that were used on 9/11 to bring the trade towers into resonance to make them go into what she called molecular disassociation. Now, what does that mean? She says that as these weapon systems were being aligned, they turned them on. And miles away, you can read her book, Where Do the Towers Go? Miles away, as they moved the energy spheres across New York City, cars burst into flames. Burst into flames. I mean, just exploded. And it was the craziest thing you'd see, because a car would burst into flames, and then things that weren't metallic, it wouldn't do anything to them because of the frequency they were using. And they brought these things across into a direct contact, direct energy field with the trade towers. Now, here's something that people don't understand. They were using scalar technology. They were using energy fields from the planet to help power and to ionize the atmosphere and to generate this massive amount of heat. And one of the things they used was a giant hurricane was off the coast of New York City on 9/11. People don't even realize that the media completely shut that up. There's a huge hurricane right off the coast, and it completely ionized the atmosphere, dried out the atmosphere, whatever they did, or they were using it as a scalar eddy to help power up the systems as they were basically initiating the power transfer from the satellite system on 9/11. And when they hit the trade towers with it, it started vibrating the trade towers internally like a giant microwave. It put it into what's called resonance, and it started to what's called molecularly disassociate. Tesla talked about this. This is Tesla technology, and he called it a death ray. And he said he could knock a plane out of the air 200 miles away from the United States before it ever got close to continental United States using this technology. In fact, he went over to Europe to sell the technology to the Europeans and ended up dead in his apartment. And then the FBI came in and stole all of his technology and all of his blueprints for this death ray, for this thing that he was going to build. It all ties back into the fact that we're in an energy field on the planet. We ourselves are an energy field, and you can molecularly disassociate it. To test this, once in his apartment complex in New York City, he actually hooked up a resonator to both sides of his window, to do two different steel frames on the window, and he turned it on, and he put the window into resonance. And when he did that, he put the building into resonance, and the entire building started shaking, and the windows started falling out of the building, and the building almost came down. They knew he was living in there. They ran inside, and he was beating this resonance machine with a 10-pound hammer trying to get it to turn off, and he finally got it shut down before the entire building came down on top of him. This is that technology. And so what Oss is talking about is they're using that same base weapon system to finely tune where they want to start the fires. And hence, you know, you have a home that's basically torched and burned, and 50 feet away there's a tree with all the leaves still on it, still green, and the grass is still green around it. That's not possible in a regular fire with a regular type of program. Here's why. Years ago, we had a fire back in 1967, and we had a fish camp, and we had a bar in the front of the property. There was a cottage right behind the bar, another cottage right behind the bar, and to the side was our house. And all this was on Highway 92 between Auburndale and Winter Haven. And what happened is a fire started in the middle house. It burnt the second house down, burnt the bar down. And we had asbestos shingles on the side of the house. And we had trees around the house that were 50, 60 feet away. Everything burned. And the trees didn't catch on fire around the house, but it was so hot it killed the trees. The fire was moving towards the house, and I grabbed a shield like a garbage can lid. I was only like 11 years old. And I basically did a Captain America with it, basically what I did. I went and put the fire out before it got under the house and caught the house on fire with a rake. Everybody else was scared to do it because it was so hot. I knew somebody had to do it. Here I'm 11 years old, and these guys wouldn't do it, the adult men. And then what happened is finally the Forestry Service came in, because we were in the county. We weren't subject to the city utilities and fire departments. They refused to come out. The county came out like 45 minutes later, and they sprayed the side of the house down where the asbestos shingles were. The fire had already bubbled up the paint around the windows, bubbled up the paint. The paint was bubbled. And when they sprayed the side of the house down to cool it off, all the windows shattered in the house, Austin. You probably don't even know that. All the windows, the whole side of the house shattered out because they were so hot. And all the plants were dead. Okay, that was a regular fire. All the trees, everything around it was unbelievably hot. Almost, the house should have burned down because of the asbestos shingles. It did not. Now, what's interesting to me about all of this is when I look at these directed energy weapons that I personally believe are being used, because a lot of people like Dane Whittington, who I highly respect, he doesn't believe that energy weapons are being used, but he may not understand the scalar technology like I do. I believe this is the same systems that they used on 9/11 that's doing this, because there's absolutely no way that these things could be this out of control in these specific areas unless they were initiated. Now, we could be wrong. It could just be a forest fire, and somebody could have got a campground loose. But what in the world? How do you melt a car's aluminum rims into a puddle of aluminum? The same thing happened on 9/11. How does that happen? I mean, how can something be so hot that it puddles out aluminum, which is going to melt at several thousand degrees, and fires don't burn that hot? So it's an interesting thing that we're seeing here in California, and I personally believe, again, my opinion, that directed energy is being used that Fred Bell talked about. By the way, when he came out, he said this on Jesse Ventura's show. You can watch it on TV. It's still available online. You can listen to the show on basically energy weapons, death rays, that kind of stuff. And he said, Jesse Ventura asked him, aren't you scared to go public with this now, because no one's ever gone public who was actually part of the protocol who worked on this program? And Fred says, no. He goes, this thing still breaks down, needs to be tweaked and tuned every so often. They still call me to help them with it. And so they're not going to mess with me because they know that I help them keep it running. Before the show was even aired, he died of a massive heart attack. And another type of energy weapon they've had a heart attack gun since the 70s, but they've had something much more sinister than that now. They've got a weapon that's about the size of an ink pen, and it puts out a particular pulse, which basically stops the pacemaker potential of the heart, called the sinoatrial node that initiates the pacemaker, throws the heart into resonance, stops the electrical field, heart stops. Fred Bell died of a heart attack. Heart stopped. Now, you think, well, do you think they killed him? I don't know. I'm just telling you, this seems like an awful lot of people start dying. When Judy Wood wrote the book, Where Did the Cot Towers Go? Now, she's spelling where, W-H-E-R-E, like where? Where'd they go? What happened to them? She basically, her assistant was shot and killed in a parking lot right after the book was released. Like a big warning. Hey, you know, don't talk about this. And see, this is the kind of stuff that happens all the time. Yesterday, when we were talking on the show, and I said, we are living with a group of people that are in a breakaway civilization. I personally believe we've been to the moon. Heck, I believe we've been to Mars. We didn't do it with Apollo, and we didn't do it with Werner von Braun technology. It's way beyond that. But that's my own opinion. And a lot of other people feel the same way. Now you think, of course, now we know we already sent the rover to Mars. We know we have the technology to get to Mars. We know we have the technology at the moon. We put things on the moon. Personally, I think 9/11's got a lot of unanswered questions that you can watch on NASA. In fact, NASA says things like, we don't have the technology to go back to the moon. You know, we've lost the technology. Well, they've got an Apollo 5 rocket laying there at NASA on its side. Austin, you've been there with me, bud. They've got an Apollo 5 rocket laying there on its side at NASA at Cape Kennedy. And why don't you just go out and take a look at the rocket that they built, if that was such the big, you know, Mac Daddy back in 1969. So a lot of people think that the Apollo landings were basically a ploy to fight Russia in the Cold War in more obfuscation, kind of like 9/11 and the Vietnam War and all of the stuff they do for varying reasons other than the reason that they tell you they're going to do it. Guys, this is a major, major mess we've got going on with this country now with this breakaway civilization. Where do you think these $30, $40 trillion have gone that they don't know what happened to them and they're in off-books balance sheets showing giant red holes everywhere? And I'm not talking about $20 trillion on our deficit. I mean, you really think that they're just out there spending this money on hammers that cost $200 or $300 or $3,000? No. They've got deep underground military bases. They've got tunnel systems throughout the United States. They've got advanced, I wouldn't even call it rocketry, I'd call it propulsion systems that use anti-gravity technology, which is basically something from the 30s. All of this stuff they have available. I mean, even Trump, when he got into the office, he was talking about how, wow, he wasn't aware of the high-flying assets that we had. Well, yeah, they're out in outer space. And we're, and this is why they're building that defense grid, that satellite grid around the planet. And if you read the book by Colonel Corso, the day after Roswell, remember, this guy's a full-bird colonel, worked like three different administrations, and worked in basically alien technology. And he said in his book, the day after Roswell, that every, you know, that all of this stuff was true with what happened with Roswell. He said he actually saw the beings that came off the spaceship. He saw them. They were basically in some type of fluid solution. They were dead, and they were being transported. He opened up one of them and looked at them. You need to read the book. I'm not making this stuff up. And what's interesting about this, he wrote 50 years until his, basically his secrecy as a full-blown colonel was expired, so he could talk about this stuff, and wrote the book. He wrote the book back in the 90s, international bestseller. What was interesting, I found about that book from Helluride, he wrote a book called The Money Mafia. See, what we have to understand is we have an organized crime, the Khazarian Mafia. It's the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Mafia, that basically the synagogue of Satan, that's much bigger than the Italian Mafia, that runs the world as far as fiat currency and controlling it that way. It all became very evident in World War I. And if I've got enough time, I'll read you some information on that today. But what's interesting about all of this stuff is that this Khazarian, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan, blood-drinking mafia, they run all of these things all over the world with their central banks, and they control the governments. So if they want to do $10 trillion or $15 trillion or $20 trillion or $8 trillion, when Ben Bernanke asked what happened to the $8 trillion, he goes, I don't know, we kind of lost it, we don't know where it went. That was it. He was never held accountable for that. See, this is what these guys do. They control everything in their breakaway technology. So people are always saying to me, you think Apollo went to the moon? I said, I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest with you. But I don't know. I said, but we've been to the moon. I believe that with all my heart. I believe we have. Now you think, well, Ted, you sound nuts. Well, I'm not nuts. I believe this because I read so much. So when I read that book by Helluride, who was a former defense minister for Canada, I'm reading through the book and I'm reading about the money mafia. And all of a sudden I get to a chapter that goes, let's talk about the aliens. And I'm like, the aliens or Roswell or whatever. I'm like, what the heck? This guy's a former defense minister. He's a cabinet level position person out of Canada. He thought he wants to talk about the aliens in Roswell. What is this guy, nuts? Defense secretary. He ends up basically reading and learning about what's going on with this breakaway civilization that we have that's based on alien, or we can call this now Nephilim fallen angel technology. If that makes it easier for you as a Christian, which it does for me, by the way. And he basically was, so I'm reading the book, and he starts talking about Colonel Corso's book. And he goes, that his generals told him, and the United States generals, the four-star generals, told him when he contacted them that every word in the book the day after Roswell was true. And I went, whoa, this guy just is massive disclosure. So then I went and bought the day after Roswell, and then I thought, oh well, I really didn't want to know this crap either, but I guess I know it now, so it's going to be something I got to talk about. And I'm thinking, well, this really makes me sound like I'm completely Looney Tunes now, so why do I even want to talk about any of this stuff? But guys, when you drop it back to the fallen angels and you drop it back to Genesis chapter 6, it starts making sense. So when you tell me that we're using space-based technology to create particle beam weapons that are igniting fires in the path of a doggone overblown rail system or whatever to clear out eminent domain, make it easier for everybody to blow these houses out of the place where they need to be blown out of it. People don't want to sell them, massively reduce the property value, kind of clear the way for them doing what they want to do. Doesn't surprise me. Just like all of a sudden we hear explosions, you know, when the hurricane's going into New Orleans a few years ago, and suddenly somebody here says the levees were blown, and all of a sudden the areas of the houses where the refineries wanted to expand into, which they couldn't take the houses away from the people, all of these places get flooded out, the houses all get condemned, and the refineries expand into the once neighborhood areas. Oh, they wouldn't do that, would they? Yeah, they would. Of course they would. This is the evil that we have right now in the United States of America and all over the world because of this Khazarian, Rothschild, satanic, synagogue of Satan mafia, which is much, much bigger than the Italian mafia. I can say that. I mean, almost all of New Las Vegas was built by the Jewish mafia. Nobody wants to talk about it. Bugsy Siegel, all of them. You think, well, would you really? Well, yeah, but now remember, a lot of these guys are claiming to be Jews. They're not Jews. They're Satanists. So I want to make sure that we clarify that every time I say that, because I don't want to be saying, he's an anti-Semite. No, I'm not an anti-Semite. Got a lot of friends who are Jewish. They don't like anything more that the Jews are doing. There are a lot of Jews in Israel who are not Zionists and think the Zionists are nuts because they want to bring on World War III. In fact, all of this stuff is just getting closer and closer and closer. In fact, now a rabbi is warning in Israel that the Palestine conflict could be the start of a biblical world war. The battle could be, quote, more horrifying than anything we could ever imagine. Guys, this is what these nutbags want. This is what they want to do. The First World War was set off by the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, which, by the way, was financed on both sides by the Rothschild banking cartel. The 2014 war in Gaza was set off by the murder of three young boys. The same is also true for the War of Gog, Magog, and Magog, but even more so, says Winston, adding that the battle could even be more horrifying than anything we ever imagined. Well, quite frankly, I don't think it's going to be any worse, any more horrible than what happened at Hiroshima or Nagasaki or Dresden. Personally, that's how I look at that. But the reality is this, these guys who have this mindset of bringing in their God after they rebuild their temple and piercing him with the spear of destiny and anointing him ruler over the planet, who claim to be the benighted Nephilim, the sons of the fallen, who trace their lineage back to Cain in the Garden of Eden, these guys are the guys that are nuts as far as I'm concerned, but they're crazy enough to believe all this stuff and they're ready to do it. So this is what we have to understand, is that this world is not being controlled by Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says we're strangers around here. You know, we're in it, but we're not of it. And that, you know, the God of this world is basically Lucifer. That's why it says the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbeliever and placed an energy field, the Bible calls it a veil, around their hearts and minds so they cannot know or to see the truth. So yeah, Austin, yeah. I believe we are using directed energy systems over there. And yeah, I do believe we have a breakaway civilization. And yeah, I read the Day After Roswell, which everybody should pick up and pick up that book. You might get it for like a penny now online. It's used. And also you need to get that book, The Money Mafia by Helluride, the Canadian Prime Minister of Defense. And you'll all have a real quick understanding of, hey, Ted's not making this stuff up as we go on a daily basis. I have read hundreds of books on these topics and thousands of articles. So that's why I base my opinion. That's why if you guys are on my private email list, I added a bunch of you to it the other day from the last Talk to Ted thing we had on Hagman, and I sent you a little disclaimer, and I said, look, I don't read all the stuff that I send out. I can't, but I read a lot of it. I don't agree with it all, but I still send it out because I refuse to censor content. You guys read it, figure it out for yourself, make up your own mind. I'm not into book-burning stuff. Now, I'm not going to send you weird stuff, or I don't read weird stuff, like satanic stuff that's like weird. Like there was a book out by Malachi Martin that someone sent me. I told me that I needed to get. In fact, ManCow told me to get it. And I got through like page 12 and I said, I got to get rid of this book. It's got to get out of the house. It's really, really, really bad because it was about demonic possession. And I had no interest in reading any further. You know, and here's why. Lucifer has no authority over me or you if you're listening and you're a Christian, you know, because he's under our feet. Because we're in covenant with the Most High, and we're connected to God through the Holy Spirit. And so he has no authority over us. That's why they hate Christians. So Satan's under our feet. So I'm not going to give him any kind of, hey, up, you know, you give you a high five, Satan, because you have all this ability on this planet. To me, blank on you, Satan. I could care less about you. You don't even register on my radar, doggone sicko pervert. You're so stupid you believe you can beat the Most High as far as I'm concerned. I have no interest in discussing what he can do or can't do, because what we can do is far superior to anything he ever thought, dreamed, or imagined, because we are sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. And guys, we need to understand who and what we are as Christians and not read weird stuff that like brings, oh, like Lucifer's got all this power. Lucifer ain't got crap compared to what we have. When we pray, this whole universe, it's kind of like, let's make a very simple analogy. It's kind of like we're in a movie, you know, in a holographic projection of a movie, and we have things in the dark matter in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th dimensions that have a projector that's basically focusing down on this planet, creating the reality in this energy field. And you think, wow, that sounds kind of weird. Well, it's kind of weird, but it's kind of like a good analogy. So here's the deal. when you pray certain things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I commit my plans unto you. They will succeed. Father, thank you for putting me in the right place in the right time all the time. Father, I thank you that I'm the blessed of the Lord, and I commit my plans to you. Thank you, Father. Okay, now when you do that, these clowns who are running the projector have to change the movie to accommodate what you just said. It's about that simple. It's not really simple. It's really kind of technical as far as with scalar waves and everything else. But that's pretty much sums it up. That's kind of like a bottom line analogy, kind of dripping through all the hard stuff. That's what it is. That's why they hate Christians, because the Hindus can't do that. The Buddhists can't do that. The unsaved Jews sure can't do that. The unsaved Muslims sure can't do that. Nobody has that authority but us, and they know that. And that's why our minds have been opened. The veil has been lifted from around us, and so we can see, and we can hear, and we can know the truth. That's why when you listen to me talk like this, if you're in the Holy Spirit with me, you're like, well, I may not really agree with all that, but, you know, Ted's really sincere about that, and he's probably right. And see, that's the thing. That's the difference between this show and all of these other shows that don't tell the truth. You know, I'm not talking about Hagman or Sheila or Dave or anybody else. All of us, we're all working together trying to support one another. But the reality is, Austin, is that when people listen to this show, they're like, well, that makes sense. When you finally understand that we're in a multidimensional universe and that string theory is real, they make string theory complicated because here's what they do. What string theory is, it's a tuned octave. You know, you got the B, C, E, D, G, you know, and you're playing music. And you have an octave above that, and another octave above that. If you're looking between all the different strings, it's just music between the octaves. That's what string theory is. And the music is basically a vibratory note, an energy field. And it goes up, 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 up to the Most High, who's above all of it. See, and this is what people don't understand. We live in a multi-fractional string theory universe that is controlled from the top to the bottom. Lucifer took control of our lower dimensions when he got in the Garden of Eden and started doing his little, you know, little slither stomp, or what do you want to call it, what he did with Eve, he's a weirdo. And that, because remember, these people believe that Lucifer beguiled Eve and had sex with her. And that Cain is the prodigy of Lucifer. They believe this, okay? So this is the weirdness these guys are all into. Now, I don't know what happened in the Garden of Eden. I sure wasn't there. But all I know is that these guys believe all of this stuff. And the reality is that we have to understand that God had enough of this nonsense and finally sent forth his son, Jesus Christ, to basically fulfill all the requirements of the law, put him on a cross, so he's going to emit scalar waves forever, to continue to restore us to the frequency of God Almighty, the energy field of God through the Holy Spirit, and we can walk with one in God through Christ. This is what being saved is all about. And when we do that, this mess doesn't affect us anymore unless we allow it to. This is why you have to be so careful to not hang out with bad people. You know, you don't want around, you get around somebody, it's like two magnets. You can take a positive and a negative magnet and you push them together and they automatically repel, because the energy fields are different. Okay? If you get big magnets, then they really push each other apart, like, you know, the size of a house. They have tremendous power. If you get the right kind of magnets, you can levitate a train on a magnetic train lift, and it never touches the rails because it'll hold up the steel train. That's the kind of power I'm talking about here. When you get around somebody who's got the opposite energy field that you have, who's not connected to the Most High, you automatically repel each other. You know, you've met people like that. You say, hi, how are you doing? They say something, you go, man, this person really sucks. I can't stand this person. What is wrong with them? It's the energy field. They're diametrically opposed to your value system because you've been renewed and energized through the Holy Spirit. And now they're a different field. And so you go, wow, you guys are awful. Now, when I run into people like that, I try not to talk to them, because invariably if I start trying to carry on a dialogue with them, it goes into a full-blown scream fest, okay, because I'm not going to put up with their mouth. And I refuse to allow Lucifer's bunch to intimidate me. I don't do that. So I just ignore them. I walk away because I don't want to be around them. But it happens all the time. You'll invite somebody to your house or you meet somebody somewhere and you get to know them for a couple of minutes or a couple of hours. Also, you're like, this ain't right. And sometimes it's immediate. And now the older I get, the more immediate it is. It's like those two magnets pushing each other apart. It's the energy fields that do that. That's why the Bible says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, touch not the unclean thing. We've been bought according to a price. We've been sanctified according to the blood of the Lamb. We've been bought and paid for. we're not of this world anymore. And so when we get around a person who's real worldly or real secular or real sicko, Austin and I know this one guy in town. The guy's a stinking pervert. I can't stand to be around him. You know, he lifts trucks. He's a weirdo. He's gay on top of everything else. I mean, and he wasn't like that when he was younger, but he's got into that lifestyle and he's a weirdo now. Every time I get around him, I feel like I'm being pushed by a 1,000-pound, you know, log to get away from him. I'm like, ah, God, I got away from this guy. This guy really is awful. See, that's how we should feel around the unsaved. Now, should that mean we should try to get them saved? Yeah, absolutely. Talk to them about Jesus, and if they can get their hearts and minds open, they can accept Christ and get that veil from their heart and mind lifted, you can get them saved. But this is what Hollywood does. They put that energy field around everybody by their filthy, filthy movies, by their filthy, filthy songs, by their filthy, filthy, filthy witchcraft ceremonies during the songs they subject people to. I mean, every time you turn on another, you know, Super Bowl, I don't even watch Super Bowl. I don't even watch the NFL anymore. Heck with those crappy people. I don't like any of them. Then they subject you to an Illuminati halftime ceremony, this big satanic ceremony, worshiping Lucifer. Why do you want to watch crap like that? Why do you even want to put that stuff? Why do you want to support people that do that to you? So anyhow, I'm babbling now, but this dives up. But Austin, yes, Austin, you're absolutely right. I believe directed energy systems are being used in California for some nefarious purpose. Thank you, bud. What's your next story?
Well, yeah, and just to add one more thing onto that, guys, this is why. And the thing about this is, to be completely honest with you, the directed energy weapons, you know, I've known about them. I've seen some of the stuff on them. You know, I've always been a little hesitant on some things, like, is this it? Is that it? But I'll be honest with you guys. After what I witnessed last night, it completely changed my perception of what these things are and how advanced and how strong they are. There's even a couple videos I've seen of people recording, and you can see a giant, and it looks like a legit laser beam coming out of the sky for a split second when these houses are igniting and going up in flames. I mean, you can see it happen. There's no other explanation to it whatsoever. However, remember, guys, this is why we are so adamant about not letting 5G into our neighborhoods and our counties and our cities, because this is the exact same technology. They operate on a similar frequency. They have the same kind of power. They have the same kind of energy transfer. And this is exactly what Dad talks about all the time, where they can change the frequency of these things with these giant microwave size 5G transmitters that are going to be on like every power pole at minimum, I think, of 500 feet, or at maximum, how they want them at least 500 or no more than 500 feet away, excuse me. And so this is why we're so adamant about it, because if this is the technology they're running with right now, having drones equipped with these things, which I've seen photos of, drones equipped with these directed energy weapons, which they're lasers is what they are, to put it, you know, in common speech, if this is the technology that they're equipped this with, this is what they're doing to these houses and these poor people out in California, and they want to put the same type of technology on our telephone poles down the street, on every single light post, on every single facet that they can add it onto, all under the guise of making our internet a little bit faster. This is some really, really, really creepy stuff. And I mean, this is why I've been so blatantly open about bringing you guys what's going on with the telecoms industry and the federal government blatantly assisting them and barring the ability of local municipalities to prevent these guys from coming in. This is so important that everybody forward this information, get this information out there, do your own research, look at what's going on. Because this is not a joke anymore. There are some serious things that are going on. And the fact that this is going on right now, in my opinion, everything, you know, everything always kind of happens in waves. We have this whole debacle in multiple states, and I've seen in Georgia as well, with this whole election fraud nonsense. Now all of a sudden we start having these fires pop out of nowhere. Remember the article I brought you guys up yesterday that two of those power stations completely lost power almost simultaneously, a few minutes before the fires just started out of nowhere. They just popped out of the sky, and all of a sudden houses started melting to the ground. This is some weird stuff that's going on right now, guys. We have to continue to wake as many people up about it and let them know what's really, really going on. Also, too, in other news, this, I've talked about this again so many times, but again, I'm going to bring it up again because I still see so many people buying this garbage. Media professor is now warned that Amazon Echo and other devices are always recording your private conversations. conversations without the consent of the owners. Nick Floor, an associate professor of information systems at the University of New Mexico, is talking about the new Amazon Echo and the fact that now law enforcement has used it in multiple cases, in one large case, to actually subpoena all the information that Amazon Echo has ever picked up in a murder trial. Now, it was a double murder, and they want to examine every single audio recording that the Echo has picked up, and they're finding out, the same thing I told you guys in this subpoena, that the Amazon Echo has picked up every single intelligible conversation in the area since it's activated. Period. Meaning once you flip that thing on, it literally records everything you do as far as what you say in the area, as far as it can hear, and records all of it. And now they're finding this out in this double murder trial where two women were stabbed to death. And this brings up some serious questions, because as we know, but I've told you guys this before, the way these guys have gotten around this, the social media, the Amazon, all this stuff, is that you agree to the terms and conditions. That's why I always tell you, turn off all your permissions on your apps. Don't let them know your locations. Don't let them have access to your media files. Don't let them have access to your microphone or your video camera. There's no reason to access that stuff. If you have to use it for a business setting and you're trying to post something for business, use it and then turn it back off. Because if something happens, now they have to basically be able to prove that they acquired that when all the permissions were off. It won't stop them from doing it, quite frankly. But again, you are at least putting a little bit of a barrier up, instead of just blatantly signing away your rights and saying, okay, you guys can record this, you can know everything I do all the time now. And even other weird stuff that I saw with Amazon earlier, now they have officially selected New York City and Virginia for two new headquarters. Essentially, the odd part about that is, you guys already know, Amazon's in bed with the CIA. They've been doing all types of government contract work for years now. New York's pretty much the banking capital of the United States, especially where the globalists are. And Virginia is pretty much the headquarters of the underground deep state, including the CIA and the Pentagon and everything else. So why would it surprise you that retail giant Amazon has selected New York and Virginia as its second and third headquarters now? Just something to think about. But we have to do what Deb was just saying. If we know something is diametrically opposed to what we believe, whether it's a person, whether it's an entity, whether it's a corporation, whether it's a National Football League, regardless of what it is, if we don't agree with it, if it's diametrically opposed to our values and ethics and morals and Christian belief, don't support it. Don't give your money to it. Don't give your time to it. Don't give your energy to it. This is something that the American population has gotten very, very bad about, is we know something goes completely against our values, and in most cases, doesn't even benefit us in most ways. I mean, I don't know what benefit people get of sitting in front of the TV for hours on end, subjecting themselves to basically paid-for wrestling with the NFL, and then subjecting themselves to a, you know, unbelievably weird Illuminati sacrificial ceremony during the doggone during the playoffs and all the different things they have. This is something that everybody, the halftime shows, this is something that you can't support. Same thing like I told you guys a year and a half ago, when that sick bestiality, homosexual, perverted filth came out with the new remake of The Beauty and the Beast, and it literally broke almost all records in the United States as far as a Disney film on the sales that it did. That was bothersome to me. I didn't go see that film. Dad didn't go see that film. I sure as heck wasn't going to go pay to see that film. If it's ever on television for free and I can watch it and analyze it from an outside perspective and see the things that they're trying to push, I may watch part of it. But quite frankly, I don't really even want to subject my time to it. My time's worth more than listening to that garbage, nor watching that crap. These are the things that we have to start making a stand in and start saying, no, I'm not going to watch the halftime show at the Super Bowl. No, I'm not going to pay to go see Beauty and the Beast and other weird, perverted stuff like that. These are things that we have to start standing firm on, because if we don't, we're slowly going to go down. I mean, think about what we're seeing right now on television. Just over the last 10 to 15 years, how far it's degraded just in that time period. I mean, we had shows in the 90s, and I'm around television, that, you know, they barely showed any type of sexual promiscuity. At the best, it was like an adult joke, and it wasn't really even that graphic. So then we had Friends, that sitcom, come in and completely open the doorway to everything. Now we have shows that are absolutely, completely perverted. And they're some of the best shows on television, and I don't mean best. I mean best viewership. They have the highest amount of sales as far as advertisement. That's a problem to me, guys, and we have to set a line in the sand where we say, listen, this is where we're stopping this. We are compromised enough in these areas. We're no longer going to compromise it anymore in these other areas, Deb.
Well, Austin, you're absolutely right, because if we continue to support this stuff and we continue to allow ourselves to, you know, give these guys money, it's like you said yesterday, son, you know, we've got a situation now where if they kill us all, no one's here to buy their junk. And they're not. That's why it's going to be a slow burn. It's going to be a slow burn. See, and again, they don't really want to kill the people in third world countries. They're trying to bring them into our countries. Let me explain something to you. This is pretty weird. They have the ability now to target DNA. They have the ability, if you've got German DNA or French DNA or Italian DNA or English DNA or African DNA or Russian DNA or China DNA, to kill just you. You think, wow, yeah, they really do have genome-specific targeting bacteria and mass weapons of mass destruction, as far as, you know, of bioweapons. You thank our boys at Fort Detrick for that. And this is the goal. See, they don't want to kill everybody off on the planet. They need a slave race here. They need a slave race to serve them, to service their machines, buy their junk, basically grow their crops, pick their crops, that kind of stuff. They don't want to kill everybody as they move into their transhumanism stuff. They just want to kill all the people that say, why are you doing that? Okay. I don't like you doing this. I mean, you know, you really are awful. I don't really want to be involved with you. Why are you doing this to me? And why is that okay with you? They don't want those types of people here. They don't want the Ted and Austin Brower show being on, or you guys that are listening to the show. They want a bunch of do-boys that they say, okay, do this, or okay, do that. And you say, okay. And see, and this is the key here that we have to understand, is that these people don't want to kill everybody. They want to keep a bunch of us here. You know, 500 million people still left around the planet. That's a lot of people. Let me read you something about World War One. I pulled this up. This is from Veterans Today. Now, I'm going to warn you about Veterans Today. I like about 20% of Veterans Today. The other 80%, I don't even touch. A lot of the stuff, as far as I'm concerned, is disinformation. And I don't like that. And I've spoken at length with several top people who know these people, and they've told me the same thing. But every once in a while, you get a really good article that goes through Veterans Today. This is the cause and consequences of World War One. Now, here's what's interesting. Listen to this. To understand the real history of the Rothschilds, 1901 to 1919, the secret creators of World War One, that's an article that you can read through. And also, here's one of their quotes. In this war, the German Rothschilds loaned money to the Germans. The British Rothschilds loaned money to the British. The French Rothschilds loaned money to the French. Further, the Rothschilds have control of the three European news agencies, Wolf in Germany, Reuters in England, and Havas in France. The Rothschilds used Wolf to manipulate the German people into a fervor for war. From around this time, the Rothschilds are rarely reported to the media because they own the media. The video you could watch is Benjamin H. Friedman, F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N, 1961 speech, the Balfour Declaration, deal to bring us into World War One, and he explains the most fundamental manner, the role of the Rothschilds in World War One, which is summarized by Friedman. He goes, the Balfour Declaration was merely Great Britain's promise to pay the Zionists what they had agreed upon as consideration for getting the United States into the war. That's actually a fact. You can also read the essay, The Money Masters, How International Bankers Gained Control of America. In America, J.P. Morgan, a Rothschild cutout, was the sales agent for war materials, both the British and the French. In fact, 6 months prior to the war, Morgan became the largest consumer on earth, spending $10 million a day. That's a lot of money back in 1918, 1916. Other Rothschild allies in the United States made out as well from the war. President Woodrow Wilson appointed Barak Baruch to head the War Industries Board. According to historian James Perloff, both Baruch and the Rockefellers profited by almost $200 million during the war. The more things changed, the more they remained the same. The essay, The International Bankers in World War One, references the book A Century of War by William Engel. By 1920, partner, Morgan partner, Thomas, this is Rothschild cutout partner, Morgan, his partner, Thomas Lamont, noted with obvious satisfaction, as a result of the 4 years of war and global devastation, the national debts of the world have increased by $210 billion, or about 475% in the last 6 years, and as a natural consequence, the variety of the government bonds and the number of investors in them have greatly multiplied. These results have made themselves manifest in all the investment markets of the world, but nowhere perhaps greater than in the United States. And you can read the rest of this article yourself, but it goes into detail on who these guys are, what they did, what Carol Quigley said in his book. Guys, this is the thing. It finally sends out like, here's the fast last two paragraphs. World War One was not about national disputes, but was a planned destruction of Christendom by the Rothschild Empire. The defining struggle gave rise to the temple of totalitarian collectivism. The only great war is the battle to defeat the demon forces that want to impose a Luciferian rule upon the planet. Wars kill citizens while usury destroys societies. Few people know, much less understand, the essential lesson of World War One. The entire last century needs interpreting and evaluation through the lenses of the eternal struggle. Ignorance is bliss for most people, but faulty history is much more dangerous. Read that article, the whole thing, and it'll really, really light you up. Another book you can read is The Bad War that was banned on Amazon about World War II. You need to understand what happened in history and how these Rothschild boys did it, how they funded Hitler, how they gave him the money, how they built his concentration camps. The Rothschilds did that through their international banking cartels, including England and the United States. We have to understand it. And guys, think about it for a second. Look at our military industrial complex we have in the United States right now with how much money they make on this. And then look at the prison industrial complex. How, you know, it may not be as barbaric as a concentration camp as far as starving people together with typhus and all the other stuff, but we have these prisoners working as slave laborers, millions of them right now making things for the prison industrial complex to sell in the open market. This is a major problem that we have in the United States, Austin, and it's not getting any better. By the way, guys, I love you. We're out of time. This has been one of those shows kind of doing memory lane with everybody. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for supporting shows like this. Thanks so much for supporting Health Masters. Austin, I'll go ahead and do the write-up. I've been taking notes on the show. We've been talking. More news stories. Marla, let Austin finish this thing up. I love you guys. I appreciate you. I haven't prayed yet today, but I would, as soon as we pray, I'm going to pray for you guys. You guys are absolutely awesome. I appreciate you. God bless. I'll talk to you in the morning.
Absolutely, guys. And to touch on a health topic, I got a couple of emails this week and, well, last week, and we kind of blend together, on ashwagandha, because we talked about it last week on one of the shows. And ashwagandha is basically a root extract that is in one of our products called Cortisol Buster, the actual root and leaf extract, excuse me. And ashwagandha, first off, the Cortisol Buster is basically a natural stress buster, essentially, is what it is. It really helps out with stress, helps out with focus, helps reducing cortisol, which is can have a very negative impact on the body, especially when it's in high amounts. And ashwagandha, one thing it can help out with is anxiety. A study showed that ashwagandha has similar effects to anti-anxiety drugs without nasty side effects. I'm not making any claims on that, but that was a research study that was done a while, ways back, that had a mild, similar effect, basically, for anxiety issues. It also has good anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties. It also helps to boost the immune system and supports the nervous system. Essentially, when you become too stressed and cortisol becomes too high, extreme fatigue, colds, any of this stuff, your body basically just, it gets run down. And ashwagandha is really good for the immune system on that. It can also help out with brain fog and memory, which I've definitely noticed a lot of times when I'm, especially when you get tired, cortisol, again, is a stress hormone. It wears the body out. So a lot of times your mental acuity, your memory, your focus tends to decline after you're really stressed and really busy. This product with the ashwagandha really helps a lot on that aspect of it and can definitely give you a little bit more productivity and a little bit more focus. But we also have the L-theanine in it, the Relora, the ashwagandha as well, the banaba leaf, and the Marla 4-6-1 extract. So be sure, if you're ever interested in that product, you're wanting something to help out with a little bit more anxiety and stress and cortisol, the Cortisol Buster is a great fit. I actually have one on my desk right now, so I'm reading about it because I take it every single day. And if you guys need to, you can also add in the Serenex Stress Control. The Stress Control is basically a Chinese herbal remedy, but I think the Cortisol Buster is a little bit better overall of a formula, but the Stress Control seems to help in addition to it if you're dealing with somebody that has really bad issues with panic attacks, anxiety, and so forth and stuff like that. Be sure, guys, as I talked about yesterday, yesterday. November pretty much is Healthy Heart Month for us at Health Masters. We have the CoQ10 Ubiquinol on the website for over 20% off. Really big sale on that. We're sending out an email today basically to explain. I've had a lot of people asking about Ubiquinol, and they see the name Ubiquinol, Ubiquinone, different forms of CoQ10. They ask us why our form is so much pricier than, say, the Bobo version from China that's at Sam's Club for like $19.99 with the red food coloring and everything else. And so to break it down, the Ubiquinol is the most bioavailable form. It's a naturally derived form. Your body doesn't have to convert it into any other form. It's at the last tail end that your body actually absorbs. So you take other forms, your body has to convert them into Ubiquinol in the last process. This step basically allows you to take the product. The processing of it doesn't even really necessarily have to occur. Your body just sucks it right up. It's kind of the aspect of taking methylated B12 methylcobalamin versus taking a synthetic nasty form of cyanide cobalamin that your body can only have about a 30% positive conversion rate. So the Ubiquinol, you don't need as much of it with the CoQ10, and it's more effective and more bioavailable. Plus, you're not dealing with all the different synthetics like pork gelatin and red 40 and just all the nasty stuff. I was at Sam's a while back ago, and I was on looking at the shelf, and I looked at the one on there, and I was just shocked on the quality of ingredients they use, and I was like, this stuff's just garbage. I wouldn't even give my dogs that type of CoQ10, honestly. But also, too, we also have the Healthy Heart Support Kit on sale on the website for over 20% off. That is a really popular kit that's a really big sale. It's HGH Stimulate, also the CoQ10, the super potent E, which is our mixed tocopherol vitamin E, our multiple, our B, and our Norwegian omega-3. Really good basic stack just off the rip, and then adding the HGH stimulating CoQ10. This is also a very good protocol for people that are exercising heavily because it's got the health properties to it as HGH stimulate, which increases blood flow, and you have your base nutrients like your ultimate multiple and Norwegian omega-3. So be sure to check those out on the website at healthmasters.com, and please vote for the product of the week. We have a lot of different votes right now. They're all over the place on the products. Today is Tuesday, so tomorrow it will be changing to the new product of the week. The current product of the week is the HGH Stimulate on sale for over 17% off. So November, we got a lot of big sales going on right now. If you want to stock up on anything, be sure, healthmasters.com, or give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for the support and emails and order comments. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.